Looking at our world from a theological perspective. This is the Theology Central Podcast, making theology central.
Good evening, everyone. I almost forgot to turn the microphone on. Good evening, everyone. It is Wednesday, July the 28th, 2021. It is currently 5:05 p.m. Central Time. And once again, I'm coming to you live from the sanctuary of Victory Baptist Church, located right here in Ovalle, Texas. Thank you for tuning in. If you're listening to us live, as always, feel free to hit the little chat icon there on the Spreaker app. Say hello, ask questions, put forth your own input and perspective. I always appreciate that. It usually adds to the program, and it usually makes it more beneficial to everyone. So feel free to jump in whenever you would like if you're listening live. If you're not listening live, you can always correspond with us by emailing us at newsif@yahoo.com. That's newsif@yahoo.com. I always look forward to getting your emails, your questions, your thoughts, your perspective, and of course, when the programs do show up on YouTube, sometimes they're slow showing up. When they do show up, feel free to offer comments and your perspective there as well. Now, this is going to be a Bible study exercise. So for those who are new to the Bible study exercises, first of all, where have you been? We've been doing the Bible study exercises for a very long time. But hey, even though you've missed all of them, you can go back and listen. And we are glad you are here, but let me explain. I need to help you explain. So first, if you want to find all of the Bible study exercises, go to theologycentral.net. Go to episodes. I think you can do it. I think it'll drop down when you go to episodes. It'll show you the series, Bible study exercises, and then you can listen to all of them. The Bible study exercises are designed with a very simple goal in mind. I don't want you to be a passive listener. I want to move you from a passive listener to an active participant. When you listen to a Bible study exercise, I want you to have a Bible. I want you to have a notebook. I want you to have a pencil, maybe some reference tools, and I want you to be prepared to dig into the text. So what do I try to do? I do some of the teaching in the Bible study exercise. I do some, and then some I leave for you. Sometimes I give you very specific assignments saying, look this up, look this up, look this up. And what I hope to do is as you're carrying out those assignments and you're doing the work, that you will take the time to then email me the work that you accomplished, the work you finished, so that I can see it, not just to, not to grade you, but because then I'm like, oh, wow, look at that. Okay, I didn't see that. I didn't see that. Because what you're studying over and over and over again, I learn things, see a different perspective, and it always benefits me. Then many times I take what you've done, I bring it right back here to the church, turn on the microphone, and that adds to the discussion. And then we take that Bible study exercise and move it even further and add to it. And usually, hopefully, it's even better than it was before you started participating. So please participate. So I do some things by giving you assignments. Sometimes I do part of the teaching and then I leave the rest for you. Sometimes I ask questions. Sometimes I teach things like I know the answer. Sometimes I teach things like I don't know the answer. I use every technique I can come up with to try to move you from just sitting there to actually engaging in study. Look, if there is one thing the church is in desperate need of right now, it is an army of Christians who are excited and committed to actually studying the Bible. We may never find a large number of Christians committed to studying the Bible anymore. I think those days are long gone, but maybe we can find a group of 10 or 12 or 15. Here's what I would like to accomplish. I would like to find 15, 20 people, maybe 30. I mean, I know I'm really pushing it. Maybe 30 people who are like, you know what? You keep making the Bible study exercises. We're going to do the work. We're going to participate. We're going to be right there because that would be awesome to have just a small group of people really committed to doing the Bible study exercises, and maybe their commitment would then motivate other people to participate. So as always, you are invited to jump in. Now, some of you may be doing the study. You just have no desire to send it to me. That's great. If you don't want to send it to me, still at least take the time to let me know, hey, I'm doing the Bible study exercises. I've got a notebook. I'm working on them. Just at least let me know. Let me know how you're listening. Okay, are you listening on Pandora? Tell me how you found us. And then let me know how many Bible study exercises you've done so far. Are you going back and the archive? Is there a passage or something you want me to do a Bible study exercise on? And then, well, then we can kind of, I can kind of know there's a community of people out there working on it. And that will be very encouraging and let me know that I'm on to something. Again, I know this. I don't know if I'll ever get to 30 people who are committed to doing it. I don't know if I'll ever get, I don't even know if I'll ever get to 10. I don't even know if I'll ever get to 5. Okay. No, I think there's more than 5 currently participating. Let me know. I don't know if I'll ever, how many, the numbers I'll ever get for doing this. I know, put it this way. I know I can do other things and get far more downloads and far more streams than doing Bible study exercises. Okay. I know that Bible study exercises are always going to be right there on the lower end of popular, as far as numbers when it comes to downloads and streams. I know that. Other things will get the attention. Great. But I'm going to keep doing the Bible study exercises, and I'm not going to base the success on them off the number of downloads or streams. I'm basing the success of them that I'm making available to people a guided Bible study exercise that will get them to actually study the Bible for themselves. They will learn Bible study skills. They will learn hermeneutical methods and principles. And if I can do that, that's a success. If only one person is engaged in doing them, then I've succeeded. That's the way. I'm a whole new metric. I'm not looking at the how many downloads did I get. I don't worry. I'm not worrying about that. Did one person out there learn something in the Bible study exercise? Did they actually engage in Bible study? If so, success. That's the way I'm focusing on this and my mentality going into this, and I'm going to continue to do it for that perspective. All right, now, with all that said, open a Bible to Exodus chapter 6. All right, now this Bible study exercise, you're going to be doing all the work. All right. You're going to be doing all the work. All right. Exodus chapter 6. Are you ready? Exodus chapter 6. Now, when you turn to the book of Exodus, you know the basic story, right? Israel is in bondage to Egypt, right? They're in bondage and they're suffering in that bondage. And ultimately, God raises up Moses, who's going to be the human deliverer. I mean, ultimately, God's going to be the deliverer, but he's going to use Moses to help bring Israel out of Egyptian bondage, to bring them out of that horrible situation, to deliver them, right? Now, we'll pick up the story in Exodus chapter 6, verse 1, right? You're going to need your thinking caps on. You're going to definitely need to write down at least 7 things. You're going to need to write down at least 7 things, and then you're going to be doing a lot of searching, all right? I don't know how many people will participate in this one because this one's going to take a little bit of work and time, but we may come back to it and turn it into a sermon or do some kind of additional broadcast, you know, episodes in relation to this. All right, here we go. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. And then the Lord said unto Moses, "Now shall thou see what I will do to Pharaoh." I got to turn the page. "For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but my name Jehovah was I not known to them." All right. Now I've got to stop I'm trying to read this for context purposes, but as soon as I start reading this, I'm like, that's okay. We could do a study there. Literally every verse, you know, you could spend 6 months studying, but okay. Verse 4. "And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I've remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord." And then stop right here. Okay, now, God is telling Moses, hey, based off these promises, based off who I am, I'm going to act. I'm going to act to bring Israel out of bondage and bring them into the land that was promised based off the covenant promise. Okay. Very simple and very straightforward. Now he's getting ready to give Moses a message to take to the people. And he's going to tell You tell Moses, you tell the children of Israel what I am going to do. And he's going to now give basically seven things that he's going to do. And he's going to say, I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. The seven things that are outlined here in Exodus chapter 6, here is the approach most preachers take, is yes, these are the things that God said he would do for Israel. Those are the things he actually did for Israel. So they have a historical fulfillment, they have a historical setting, and they dealt with the things God would do to deliver them from their physical bondage to Egypt. However, these seven things that he said he would do are also, they also serve as an illustration or a type of things God does for everyone in saving us from sin. So these seven things that God does for Israel, they're true, they're historical, they're accurate. God actually did them in reality and in a real way. However, when we read them, we can also say, this is what God will do for us and what he has done for us in salvation. That is the way many preachers approach it. Now, I'm going to give you the seven things, and then I'm going to place this before you to try to find, listen, you're going to see what God said he will do for Israel. And then it's going to be your responsibility to then run to the New Testament, find verses that speak of salvation, salvation from sin, and say, see that verse? It says what God will do in salvation. That corresponds to what he said he would do for Israel. So it kind of serves as a type. It's similar, right? And you're going to try to find verses in the New Testament that are similar in language to the things God said he would do and the things he did for Israel and delivering them from their bondage from Egypt. All right? That's going to be your task, because preachers preach this. Now I'm going to have you, well, you're going to work and see if you think, oh yeah, okay, I think there's a correspondence here. I think there's an application here. Or you may go, well, wait a minute. I think I'm really trying to force this. Okay? Because remember, first and foremost, this is God speaking to Moses about a specific situation in history. This is about delivering them from physical bondage. Now, if I'm going to take this and try to make it a type, a picture of salvation, I just want to make sure that the verses we find are accurate and they make sense. All right, let's go through this and you'll see what I am referring to here. Okay, so Exodus chapter 6. Here we go. Now, here's God speaking to Moses. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel. So he's talking to Moses. Moses, you need to tell the children of Israel this. I am the Lord. And here's the first one. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Now, can you think of a New Testament verse or verses that speaks of salvation in terms of bringing us out from under the burden of something? They're under the burdens of the Egyptians. What have we in salvation been set free that we're no longer under the burden of? Now, I've got to be very careful here not to say things to give too much away, but I want you to think about that, all right? So in this historical setting, God tells Moses, you go tell Israel that he's going to deliver them out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Now, if this is a type of salvation, in my salvation, what was I delivered out from under something that was a burden? Okay. Now you can also look up Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 and some other translations to see if they use a different word there for burdens. Okay. And that may help you. I'm giving you a clue. The easiest way to do that, go to Google, type in Exodus chapter 6, verse 6, look for the entry from BibleHub.com. That will give you every English translation and just see if they all use word burdens or they use something else, all right? Everybody got that? Number two, I'm saying, did everyone get that? See, that's you get used to standing behind a pulpit. See, if this was a live in-person service tonight, then I would be All right, did everyone get that one? And I would wait for an amen. We would go through all seven, and then I would go back to number one and see if my people could find scriptures to do this. And I would make them just do it as a congregation and work together and see what we could find. And the, you know, people who visit the church go, wait a minute, you're making them find the answer? Isn't your job to tell them? No, my job is to equip them for the work of ministry so they're no longer children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And not just teaching them the truth, but also teaching them how to find the truth and guiding them in looking and searching and studying the Bible, I think is very critical that churches do that. But that, I digress. We'll get into a different podcast episode if I keep going down that direction. All right, so here we go. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will, there's the I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Number two, and I will rid you out of their bondage. All right? So the first thing, they're going to be removed under the burdens of the Egyptians. And number two, they're going to be delivered, or in fact, I'm going to use the exact words, they are going to be, they're going to be rid out, God is going to rid them out of their bondage. They're going to be set free from bondage. Now, what are we set free from? What bondage are we set free from? Now, you may want to go listen to my last podcast episode because we just talked about this, but what have we been set free from the bondage of? Now, we need to understand what that means, but just find that, okay? All right, so there's number two. Number three, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. All right. Is our salvation spoken of as being redeemed? Did God redeem us with an outstretched arm and with great judgments? Find scriptures that would correspond to that. Again, finding New Testament scriptures that would correspond to that. Speaking of our salvation. All right. So let's go through them again. Verse 6 contains how many I wills? Let's see. I will bring you out from under the burdens. There's number one. Number two, I will rid you out of their bondage. Number three, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Right, there's three. Number four, and I will take you to me for a people. I will take you to me for a people. Number five, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Next, I will bring you unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And then lastly, I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. One more time. Let's go through them again. Verse 6. Wherefore I say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Number two, I will rid you out of their bondage. Number three, I will redeem you with an outstretched, with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Number four, I will take you to me for a people. Number five, I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Number six, I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then number seven, I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Now, those are the seven I wills. Some refer to this as the seven I wills of salvation. Now, these are clearly the seven I wills of Israel's deliverance from bondage to Egypt. No question about that. How do these seven I wills of Israel's deliverance from bondage to Egypt, how do they correspond to our salvation? I need you to try to find for each of those I wills a corresponding verse in the New Testament that speaks of our salvation and terms that are very similar, or you can see a correlation, you can see a likeness, you can see a similarity. All right? Now, some of those you should be able to find relatively easy. Now, don't do this. Do not do this. Do not simply do a Google search for the seven I wills of salvation and then find someone else who did the correlation between the two for you. Don't do that. All right? Don't do that. do this on your own and see, yeah, okay, I can see a similarity. Now, by doing that, you'll see God's grace and mercy in delivering Israel from their bondage. And then you'll see God's grace and mercy, hopefully even a greater appreciation, a greater understanding, maybe increase your love for God and seeing the I wills of salvation in your salvation in delivering you. Very simple Bible study exercise, but I think one that should be enjoyable. Now, if you're doing this with people, get together, start working on it. Now, this one you may want to send to me and I can look at it and go, well, I don't know. This is what I may do. If you do the work, I may look at yours and go, do you think that verse really works there? I want you to really find verses that very similar, like I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with, I think it says severe judgments. I close my Bible. Well, okay. I will redeem you. I think you're going to be able to find redemption language in the New Testament. That one is pretty simple. Outstretched arm. Clearly, you can see a correlation there, right? All right, Jesus being crucified on the cross. Severe judgments. Well, we believe that God poured out his judgment on sin upon his son, right? Can you find a verse that would carry that idea? Well, if so, you can kind of put all of that together. There's one that I don't think will require much work, right? We've been we were under the burden of something, and we've been removed from being under that burden. Now, I think that one is relatively simple too. We've been set free from bondage or delivered from bondage. Okay, I will be their God. There's some things here. All right, there's some things here. I'm going to give it as basically. Let me see. What's the? I closed my Bible. I'm just trying to memorize these. I will give for an heritage, I am the Lord. So the idea of an heritage or an inheritance, right? Now, somewhat similar here, this is speaking of physical land. But are we promised an inheritance? Are we promised, in a sense, a land? We said we're going to inherit the earth. How do we understand that inheriting of the earth, right? Are there verses that would speak of that? A land, a new heaven and a new earth? All right, are we going to be brought into that? I'm giving you some of these should be really easy to find. Some of these you may have to struggle with, but I think you can find something that's a correlation, right? Just work on it. Try to find a verse for at least one verse for each one. In some cases, I think you're going to have to find two or three verses to really make the picture come together, all right? To really kind of make sure the picture is complete. The story of Exodus gives us one part of the piece. That's the historical reality. Now let's see if there is a spiritual reality in regards to our salvation that corresponds to that physical historical reality. There's something similar. I'm not going to sit there and say this is a type, like it's dogmatic, but I think it's dogmatic what God did for Israel. That's dogmatic. That's historical. That's factual. It is dogmatic, it is historical, and it is factual what God does for us in salvation. Now, if the two correspond, wonderful, then that corresponding should demonstrate God's mercy, his love, his character, and hopefully should increase your love and appreciation and gratefulness for what God has done for you. All right? There you go. Very simple, very straightforward. If anyone needs me to repeat those instructions and you're listening to me live, you need to ask me to repeat them ASAP, right? Because I know there's like a minute delay for usually people listening to me live. So I'm going to give it just a second to make sure. For everyone else, if you need to repeat any of these instructions and you're not listening to me live, you can email me at newsif@yahoo.com, newsif@yahoo.com. That's newsif@yahoo.com, newsif@yahoo.com. Now, the reason I'm doing a Bible study exercise on this, I know we've got other Bible study exercises that we're working on. The reason I'm doing this is very simple. I got in the car and I got ready to listen to a sermon on, because I subscribe to all kinds of podcast feeds. And there was a sermon that popped up, said the 7 I wills of salvation. Now, I haven't listened to the sermon yet. Right, I just got the text, and I started listening until they gave me the text of Scripture. Once I got the text of Scripture, I was like, okay, I'll just turn this into a Bible study exercise, and I'm going to probably listen to the sermon later because I am going to be interested to see what they do and how they approach it. And then maybe we'll come back and look at the corresponding reality. And well, who knows? We'll see how many emails we get and how we want to do this. All right. Sounds good. All right. I'm not getting any messages. So I'm not getting any messages seems to indicate that my instructions were so precise and so clear that no one could have any kind of question, because that's just how good of a job I just did. Okay. All right. Now I'm playing around. All right. So everybody got that? All right. You can email me again, newsif@yahoo.com. All right. Pretty simple Bible study exercise tonight, but I think hopefully it'll make you realize not only what God did for Israel, what God has done for you in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Hopefully. And not, I think in some of these I wills, not only do we see what God has done for us, I think in some of these are point to what God will do for us in the future as well. I think it carries a present and a future reality for this, for those of us who are believers. And well, you'll see. Again, I don't want to give too much away. All right. I look forward to seeing what you've done. All right, get to work. Enjoy. It's Wednesday night. So take some time, turn off the television, turn everything else off, and just spend some time digging into God's word, looking at what God has done for you in salvation. And when it's all said and done, take some time to praise and thank him for his great mercy and his great love shown to you through the salvation that is brought to you because of the finished work of his son, Jesus Christ. And hopefully that's what will be accomplished here. All right. Thanks for listening. Everyone have a great evening. God bless.